Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed and I confessed, I really felt that I was blessed. Plus I loved my uniform, so did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age, and all those things I thought were true, someday I'd break the big taboo.
Hello and welcome to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. We're on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today is April the 11th, 2018. It's 7 p.m. So if that's not the date and time on your watch right now, then you're probably listening to a podcast. But however, we are live on this date, and I'd like to open up the phone for people who like to call in. This is an atheist call-in radio show, and a lot of people sometimes want to talk about that. The number is 865-333-5937, 865-333-5937. And on the phone with us, as usual, we have Wombat. Can you say hi, Wombat?
Yeah, on speakerphone, low quality, high power. Let's go.
That's right. That's working. What are we talking about today? You've got some more street epistemology I think you want to talk about?
Sure. So, just a quick summary. I practice street epistemology. It's a practice of talking to people about deeply held beliefs, about turning the conversation into an argument, a debate, making anyone feel defensive. We can have these really great conversations in a short period of time, and I wanted to share one that kind of led to a dead end for me. In this video, I have a conversation with a guy named Brady, and it's really interesting. We talk about his God beliefs, and then there's a point where I realized I needed to stop having the conversation. So I wanted to just... We can go straight to the video. How about that?
Okay, let me cue it up. Give me a second.
Every couple of days, whenever I have some free time off in a row, I'll head over to a park, and I'll set up a table and two chairs and have a conversation with people. I got a five-minute hourglass, and what I'll say is I got a five-minute timer, and I believe any two people can come to a table and have a conversation. You want to try that? It's fun. And people will say sure. Some will say they don't. But for the most part, I'm always kind of busy every, you know, 1 or 2 minutes with new people coming in and having conversation.
Dude, thanks for coming so soon.
Yeah.
Ty is my name. I've got a five-minute timer.
Okay.
At least any two people can talk about anything. Is there anything that strongly motivates you? Anything that you think
God.
Is true? God?
Yeah.
That's a heavy topic. You want to talk about that for 5 minutes?
Sure.
Yeah? Brady?
Yeah.
Brady.
Brady, Brave, play.
Nice, man. Start on the timer.
All right.
Do you come here often?
No, it's my first time being here.
Really? Yeah. Where did you from? Are you really from Neverland? We had talked before.
Yeah, well, I'm a lost boy, but
okay.
I'm also, like, if you're a lost boy, you're from Neverland.
Okay.
They came over from England.
Yeah?
Back in the freaking 1500s.
Okay.
It was a gang in England, and they came over here, and now they're just mainly train hoppers. But that's what I say if you ask me where I'm from, because I'm a military brat.
Okay, same here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
My dad was Air Force.
My dad's Army, mom's Army, got family in the Air Force. Yeah, man. Straight up.
Cool.
How many high schools did you go to?
Probably 4 or 5 or 6.
It's about the same here.
Yeah, I've been to 9 or 10 schools, and I made it to 9th grade.
Okay. Not bad.
So I got GD.
Not bad. Good on you, man. Good. Yeah. That's another fist bump.
Hell yeah.
So, you want to talk about God? Which God are we talking about?
The Christian God.
Okay, we're talking about the Christian. Any specific sect?
Because there's three things you have to believe in.
All right.
First of all.
Three things you have to believe in.
Yes.
Man, it's so windy.
I know.
All right.
Okay. First of all, there's one true God.
Okay.
Second of all, if you do something wrong, you got to feel bad about it.
Okay.
Which is repentance. And third of all, ask for forgiveness. And that's all you need to know.
Okay.
Put that on camera.
Three things you gotta know. Repentance, sounds like.
Yeah, and forgiveness.
Forgiveness. What was
one
the third
true
one?
God, repentance, and forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
One, two, three.
And what was the last one?
One True God.
Oh, One True God. Sorry about
that. First one, but whatever.
You see why I got notes, right?
Yeah. No problem.
All right, so how confident are you that this God actually is real?
Pretty confident, because there's a lot of forces in this universe, yeah. You know? There's, yeah. like, other things that are going on, you know? And, like, I feel like, you know, like, if you team up with the right force,
okay,
then you're on the right side.
All right.
Know? And so, like, I just became Christian about 2 years ago.
Oh,
or something.
Okay.
I was having a really rough time. And, you know, I was like, screw it, man. I'm just going to try God, you know?
Yeah.
And since I did that, my life got a lot better.
Okay, you know? Okay, okay. So from, like, a scale from 0 to 100, would you say you're, like, at, like, 0 being absolute doubt? No way it could possibly be true. 100%. Totally confident. Don't even ask me another question. I don't need any more evidence in the future. This is where I'm locked into. I'm absolutely certain.
I don't know what you're talking about exactly, so how can you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out. This whole conversation is all about just trying to figure out.
Everybody's got their own beliefs, you know?
Okay.
I'm sorry I brought up God.
No, no, no. I like this
fell out of my mouth.
No, dude. So. I like it. If it moves you, I want to know about it. I want to also know, like, how certain you are that that belief's true.
100%.
100%. Don't need any more questions, no more evidence.
It's pretty easy, yeah.
Closed on the position?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll say so.
Okay. Hey, how are you, man? All right, so 100% on the belief. What got you to that belief again? Or if you haven't mentioned it already?
Well, I was living under a bridge, and I was like, man, this, you know? Life sucks. You know, I'm crazy hallucinating all the time, you know? And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to try to be a Christian, you know? Because I already accepted I was going to hell.
Okay,
sure. Like, I mean, how much worse could life possibly be?
Okay.
You know, I was like, I'm going to be a Christian.
Okay.
And, sorry to say cuss words when I talk about God.
No, dude, but, it's all cool.
Yeah, I was like, you know, screw it. I'm gonna, you know, so I tried that, you know, and like believe those three things.
Yeah.
That's what I eventually figured out.
Okay.
You know, my brother got me started on it. He was like, read Romans. I was like, well, you know, Romans sucks, and you know, he's sending me these what do you call things on YouTube?
Videos?
Podcasts?
Sorry.
Yeah. Whatever.
Just
make fun of me.
I just play with you, man.
All right. Yeah, podcasts. He sent me these crazy Christian podcasts,
yeah.
And I'm listening to them. Like,
uh-huh.
You're bad. But it's really like people are what they are, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, like whatever you believe in, man, they're all basically the same thing.
Okay.
But
so
I just had my beliefs. So.
On that note, if you were like, say, in India right now, not in America, where like Hinduism is the most popular religion, and you had a brother that was a Hindu, and he told you, hey, man, you got to check out Hinduism. And you went,
who knows? I might be
Indian
Hindu.
You could fall into the belief of a different God based on what it's done for your life.
Well, we're all products of our environment, you know?
I think so,
and we
yeah.
fall into whatever the influences are that we trust, so, you know.
If that's the case, then you could go to, like, any different God. Like, what got you
no,
to 100%
I pretty much decided,
on the Christian God?
I have decided.
Don't
live like a believer. Turn my back on the deceiver.
I can put some music in there. So, you decided that it was true. Mm-hmm. Is that typically a reliable way to come to the conclusion that something is true?
Well, if you believe it,
mm-hmm.
it's true. If everybody believes 2 plus 2 equals 4,
mm-hmm.
then 2 plus 2 equals 4.
If everybody believes 2 plus 2 equals 5?
Yes, 2 plus 2 would equal 5.
Really?
Correct.
If I believe that water and gasoline were the same thing, if I believe that.
Nope. Everybody has to believe it.
Everybody has to believe it.
Yeah.
Once everybody believes it,
mm-hmm.
does everybody believe
that's
that your God's
different.
True?
Oh, we're out of time, but yeah. No, everybody believes different things.
Okay.
That's why there's contrasting forces in this universe. Because we're not all on the same page.
Right. Thanks for the time. Can I ask you one last quick question?
What's that?
If everybody does believe in different things, can you really be justified at 100% in this God?
Who, me?
Yes.
Yeah.
That it's actually a true conclusion?
I can only do for myself, man.
And if I personally held the belief that water and gasoline were the same thing, that wouldn't be true just because I decided that was true, right?
No, but if everybody believed it was true, it'd be true.
Okay. Alright. Thank you, man.
Yeah, for sure.
I appreciate it.
Good talking to you.
Good talking to you too,
Brady. Hope I gave you some good insight.
Yeah, I that was really, really good, especially since I was just setting up. Thank you, man.
He believed that a God is a real God, like a Christian God is real and has an effect in his life. He came up with some examples. One is that he had a really hard life. He barely got a ninth grade education. He's been living underneath bridges, taking drugs. He's been hallucinating. And then his brother turned him on to the idea of Christianity. And so his brother gave him a Bible. And ever since then, his life had turned out to be a lot better since he started believing. And so that gives him a lot of opportunities to try to discuss how he came to a true conclusion based on that story. Like, should you address, you know, the premise of just his life being better? Is that a good and reliable way to come to a true conclusion? Or should I bring up the fact that, you know, just because his brother gave him a Bible, does that prove that that God, that holy book is true? There are a lot of routes that are presented to you when you start doing, like, a street epistemology, and you start seeing, like, avenues of discourse that you could have with someone, and they all lead to pretty interesting places. But you should just be driven by your own curiosity. So I asked him about, like, what happened if his brother gave him a Bhagavad Gita, or the holy book from, like, the Hindu religion. Would he become a Hindu instead, and would he be telling me how confident he was that the Hindu God was true? And he said, yeah, he would be indifferent at that point. He was pretty honest with himself, and I think that was pretty good. What do you think of the conversation so far?
Well, it's so typical that religions try to recruit members when they're at a low point in their life. You see this over and over again. You know, when they're really not working at their best, and they're reaching for straws, their defenses are down, you know, in moves the religion. And tries to get them in there. And then, of course, as soon as they're in, you know, the church members will just pour on all this unconditional love. And there is a benefit to that. I'm not saying there isn't, because, I mean, the love, of course, isn't real if the guy was to, issue a religion after he got in the door, you know, for after a week, they would issue him. They would shun him as well. So it's not real love, but it's very powerful. It's very tangible when you're at a low point and you need help and friendship and love.
Right.
You know, the religions step in and offer you all of that.
It's true. It's absolutely true. And it gets addicting, and you want more of it. And that's how you can fall in really soon, or into the religion very quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
I will say this, though. I made a mistake in recounting the conversation. I said that I asked him if his brother gave him a Bhagavad Gita, would he believe that's true? While I did ask him that, that wasn't the first immediate question I asked. There's far more pressing questions to get to at the beginning of the talk. And that question is, how certain is he that his God is true? The reason why I do that, ask that question first, is because I want to benchmark our conversation by first getting an initial idea of how confident he is.
Yeah.
Then we can have our talk, and then we can revisit that level of confidence that he gave me, and see if he's changed it at all. Maybe sometimes through his body language, maybe sometimes through a numerical number, maybe sometimes just through a general statement. But it's good to have that full circle review in a 5-minute conversation.
Right.
So I asked him how certain he was. He said he was absolutely confident, no questions asked, not willing to change his mind either way, doesn't need any more evidence, absolutely sure that this God exists. And we made sure that it was specifically the Christian God that he was referring to, that he was confident in. Yet, even when I asked him, hey, if your brother gave you the Hindu holy book, would you be a Hindu? He said, yeah, I probably would be a Hindu right now. So it really did bring this quandary up of, well, then how can he be so confident that the Christian God's true if really he was willing to believe any book, or
right,
any holy book,
well,
that
sure
was presented to him?
Uh-huh.
What do you think about that?
Well, I'd say he was very subjective to the suggestions that they were giving him at that time.
Suggestible. It was kind of rough.
Yeah. I don't know. I think his level of skepticism dropped to a very low point at that point, and he's ready to grasp at straws and accept any help that's thrown his way. And if it was in the God of, if it was the God of Vita, he would have grasped at it. But I don't know. I mean, considering his upbringing was in an American home in a Christian church, I doubt that he would have stayed with it very long. He probably would have just come back eventually to the Christian belief. If he's going to believe in a God, he'd probably believe in the one that was most comfortable to him. But I don't know. It's just conjecture at this point.
You know, you did bring up a good point, though. Like, when you are desperate, you really just want an answer, particularly if you're in a really hard point
right
in your life. You don't care where the answer is. You don't care what the answer is. You just need one in order to get, like, some sort of anchor in your life, to get some control.
Yeah.
And if you get benefits from that, if you get life's lifestyle benefits, if you get like some sort of security in your home, if you get more money in your bank check, if you meet more people and you can hire more people and have a community that you can like get some love in or have a stronger sense of family from, that makes you feel like the answer is true, regardless of whether it's actually true or not. It gives you the impression that it is.
Right.
And that could be a really, really, it could be both a beneficial thing and a dangerous thing if it's used in the wrong way by clever people who want something from you.
And this is even institutionalized in Alcoholics Anonymous. I mean, they say that you don't have to believe in their God. They can, you can, the old quote is, you can believe in a doorknob as long as you believe it's the almighty creator of the universe. They say they don't care, but they do push a particular religion's belief system.
They do.
Yeah. And of course, those people are at the end of their rope as well. Their world is falling apart and they're at a bottom point in their life. And of course, they're going to reach for straws. They're going to accept what the person tells them. When they're offering them help, if you're going to do it without, if you're going to help people, do it without attachments, without conditions.
That's
the truth. The true measure of, altruism. You know, what's in it for you? When you offer help or a sandwich or companionship and then you start pushing your religion on them, that's just a ploy at that point.
I'm not just in conversations, we'll definitely get back to Brady, but I was just having that same conversation with a lady today as I was speeding over here, while you were speeding over to the birdhouse, about this very topic. Like, she was saying how much she was getting a lot of benefits from her church and how her church is helping us out, but she left the church because she didn't like how, you know, dogmatic they were or how much extra things they were throwing in between the sandwich, basically, or like throwing shoving underneath the table. And we're having that really good conversation. I think you hit a really good point. You know, do you think we have enough time to get into the next point of the conversation, or are we at the bottom of the hour?
Well, let's go ahead and do station identification. And when I come back, mention the links to the Free Thought groups here in Knoxville, and then we'll go after that.
One day the sun is going to die. For us it means no more sunsets to the universe, just one less star in the sky. And almost all who ever lived have already died. Countless stories of love and war and hope and pain now silent play side by side. Yes, I understand that my whole life will dry, while somehow life may continue, it will not be known to you and I. To think we are so important is an obvious crime. We know that we are specks on a tiny dot.
the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO 103.9 LPFM in Knoxville, Tennessee. Feel free to join in on the conversation at 865-333-5937. That's 865-333-5937. And now, back to the show. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Simply the best.
Well, right today, I don't know how best we are. Our phone's not working and we're having troubles, but we'll continue on. We'll soldier on. First, let's talk about the free thought groups that you can join right here in Knoxville. There's the Atheist Society of Knoxville. They've been around for about, 16 years now. I started them back in 2002, and you can find out more about them by going to KnoxvilleAtheist.org. Wombat, you're playing some music or something. It's coming through.
I could mute
the phone, but I can't do it right now. I can mute the mic, but it may still come through. Okay, you can join ASK, the Atheist Society of Knoxville, in person at their weekly meetup, which happens every Tuesday evening at Black Horse Pub in Bearden, Knoxville. It's on West Kingston Pike, that's it. Every Tuesday for happy hour food, drink, and conversation. Everybody's welcome as long as you don't come to preach, proselytize, provoke, or punch. Thank you, Atheist Experience. Another free-thinking group here in Knoxville are the Rationalists of East Tennessee, and they've been around for more than 20 years. RET is biweekly presentations and discussions at the Pellissippi State Campus near Hardin Valley Road. They meet the first and third Sundays at Goins Administration Building Cafeteria Annex. Just go to rationalist.org if you'd like to find out more information about that. Then there's also the Sunday Assembly, which started in England a few years ago. It's a no-God church setting for those who no longer believe in God, but still like the fellowship of a church-type gathering. Just Google Sunday Assembly Knoxville. Then there's the Secular Student Alliance, which has programs to give camaraderie and community to any free-thinking high school and college student who'd like to be involved in the free thought movement, who would just like to find other free thinkers to hang with. Just Google Secular Student Alliance. And if you want to put UTK on it, you'll get the local group. Then there's the TV show we talked about a little earlier. It's called Free Thought Forum. And you can see it every Wednesday night between 6:30 and 7:30. Matter of fact, it's just now going off. So jot down Comcast Channel 12 or Charter Channel 192, or you can watch it live streaming online at ctvknox.org. And you can also go to YouTube and do a search for Free Thought Forum Knoxville, and you'll be able to see some of the archived shows that we have there, or that a fan has been putting up there. And if you would like to be involved in the radio show or the TV show, just come to one of our meetups. That's ASK or RET. And talk to us about it. You could be our next co-host and or guest. Okay, and let's get back to the topic. Where do we leave off there, Wombat?
We were talking about a student epistemology video that we'll be soon posting. It's about a guy named Brady, and Brady came to me with a God belief, and we talked about it for 5 minutes. And at the end of the conversation, I felt like we had reached a dead end, and I just want to go over the process with you. Maybe we can have some like feedback on what I could have probably done differently, maybe something you could have had a different thought about. But anyway, Brady believes in a God. He had a troubled youth. He only had a ninth grade education. There was a point where he was taking drugs, he was under the bridge, and he said to himself, my life sucks, and I need something. And his brother came to him with a Bible, and from there, he basically came to the belief that that holy book gave him proof that his God existed. When I talked to him, it sounded like he was 100%, and he even confirmed that with me. And then I said, what if your brother gave you the Hinduist book for it, and showed you through the Bhagavad Gita that Vishnu was the one who got. Would you be a Hindu right now? And he said, yeah, I'd probably be a Hindu right now then too. And that made me wonder why we could be so confident that the Christian God was the one true God if he was so easily persuaded by whatever book his brother gave him, and we just happened to be in America where Christianity seems to be the predominant religion of faith.
Right.
So when I presented that to him, he thought about that maybe for a hot 2 seconds, and then said, well, it's true because I I said, you decided? He said, I have decided. Then he started singing the song, I have decided, turn my back on the believer, turn my back on the deceiver, I'm a believer, or something like that. And it was kind of weird. But basically he was saying that if I decide something's true, then it is true. Yeah. And I didn't understand what he mean by that. So I asked him, what do you mean by, you know, just because you decided it's the truth? Is that a reliable way to come to the conclusion? He said, yeah, of course. He said, if you decided that to, I have a story, I have a little thing that I do when someone gives me a personal truth argument, or argument for when they say, well, it's true for me, blah, blah, blah. The argument is a bottle water example. It's one I came up with where I basically say, if it was personally true to me that, you know, bottled water and gasoline were the same thing, could I fill my car with Aquafina and drive to work? What do you think? Would I be able to do that?
What do you say?
If I fill my gas tank with Aquafina, could I drive to work if it was personally true to me that gasoline and bottled water were
the same? Yeah, what did he say?
Oh, he said, well, it's not, it's just because it can't be just true for you, everyone has to believe it. If everyone believes it, then it's true. If everyone decides that it's true, then it's true. He just said, if everyone believes that 2 plus 2 equals 5, then 2 plus 2 will equal 5. That's what he told me.
We'd be wrong, but...
So there are a lot of different routes now that you could take in this conversation.
Yeah.
Right?
It's obvious that there are some people that don't believe in God, and there are people that believe that God is not his God. You know, there's huge amounts of people most of the world doesn't believe in the Christian God.
Larry, you're like some sort of like career atheist or something like that.
I am.
That's the perfect route. You found the optimal route. So yeah, exactly. I asked them. So now we're running about like to the 4 minute mark in the conversation. Like I said, I always say it's a 5 minute conversation that I have with people. It's a good thing. But so what I asked them is, there's two different approaches to asking this question. You can throw out the fact that not everyone believes in his God, and then you can try to bounce off the fact and maybe throw something else at you. But it's better to make them think about the answer, and a question that's pointed is always better than just throwing a fact at
someone. Sure. Yeah, I'm not very good at that.
Instead of saying, hey, thousands of people don't believe in your God, or maybe not everyone believes in your God, ask them, does everyone believe that your God is true? And that gives them a position to think about what he's just said and kind of connect the dots between all the arguments
he's
thrown out.
Yeah.
If it's true that everyone believes in something and that makes it true, I'm not arguing that. I'm not tackling that personal truth statement. What I'm making him think is everyone in agreement that is his God's truth? Even though we just had the conversation that there's such gods like Hinduism gods in, you know, the Christian faith, and they're different, and not everyone believes in either of those two. So he has to be aware of that. So he told me that, yes, no, actually, not everyone believes it, but it's true for me. He says it's true for me.
He actually said that.
He is, but now we're going in a circle. You see that? So we went from, if everyone believes it, it's true, to now, is it true for me? So I threw out again the bottled water example and asked him, if it was true for me that, you know, bottled water and gasoline are the same thing, could I put gasoline, can I put oxygen in my car and drive to work? He says, no, you can't do that. That's not true. But if everyone believes that you can put gasoline or water into your car, then it would be true. It would be true that you could definitely do that.
It's quite a stretch.
At this point, I was kind of like spiraling. Because we were going in a circle and I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
But he seemed to be less confident each time we hit that wall. So I had an opportunity to continue to keep asking him questions at this point. Or I could have just said, you know, I think we did enough. I think if we walk away and he thinks about this conversation, he might be able to see the point that I was bringing home. So at that point, I decided to summarize. And I basically said, you know, this was quick review. You know, it was true to me that, you know, these water and gasoline were the same thing. I want to be able to do it just because I believed it, right? Just because I decided it. He said, no, everyone would have to believe it for it to be true. And I think that's where we end up the talk. Because I think the next question I would have asked would be, well, does everyone believe in your God? And at that point, I would have been repeating myself.
Right.
And I didn't want to go into a complete circle.
Yeah, you only have 5 minutes anyway.
The conversation, which might have put a different light on on his remembering of the conversation we had.
Yep.
So I shook his hand, ended it there, and we ended really positively, but I feel like I did hit a wall.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, it sounded like you did. And you only had 5 minutes anyway. You'd agreed beforehand that you only had 5 minutes and the time was running out. And when they start repeating themselves, you know, if you can't move on, you might as well end it.
Right.
Now,
I think so.
Yesterday evening, I don't know if it was while you were doing this, maybe you did this conversation today, though, right?
I did that conversation I did maybe 2 weeks ago, a week ago.
Okay. Well, I did. Yeah. I went to a religious roundtable discussion here in Knoxville that was held on UT campus.
Okay.
And and everybody was so polite. They had a Catholic priest, an Islamic guy who was I don't know if he was practicing Islam or if he had a teaching position in that. I don't know, but there was also a Jewish guy who had a professorship there at the college, and they all came representing their religion. They also invited an atheist, which I give him kudos for. The president of the Atheist United, I think, came in and spoke. I wish I could remember his name, but I can't at this point. But the entire thing went, it was very polite. Nobody mentioned the hell word at all. Everybody wanted to just put their religion on the best possible footing, and nobody stepped on anybody else's toes. And at the end of it, after about an hour and a half, they did have to take questions, and they fended those off pretty good. They only allowed about four questions. It wasn't very long at all. I did manage to get one in. My question was, one, do you believe that faith is a good guide to the truth? And most religions.
Whoa, look at you!
Excellent questions, yeah. Most religious teachers will tell you, yes, you know, you need to follow your faith. You know, as a matter of fact, they call religions faith. And, you know, you need to practice your faith. But then the second part of the question was, how do you then explain how faith is used every day to guide people to other religions? And they never answered it. They just danced all around it. Matter of fact, the Islamic guy, who was the guy who gave me the longest answer, and he equated faith with being raised in a particular religion. In other words, if I was raised in a Muslim country and raised in an Islam, then my faith would be Islam, and that's why I would follow that. And he didn't get, he either didn't understand the question, or he didn't know he didn't know what I meant by faith.
If that is his answer, how can you use that as a reliable way to come to the conclusion just based on your upbringing?
Right.
If I was raised in Native Alaska by a bunch of Eskimos, and we worshipped our ancestors because we thought they were
or Japan.
Communicational spirits.
Yeah.
Yeah, or Japan, where you have a Shinto religion, and Japan, you know, any part of the world that has a completely different means of understanding how spiritualism works. How is that any way reliable based on your geography?
Yeah, and like
I think that's a pretty interesting admission on his part, even if he didn't put a lot of...
Right, and the others didn't even hardly... I mean, they just gave a non sequitur. They didn't follow the question at all. Neither one of them answered the first part of the question.
How did the atheist answer?
I didn't address the question to him because I knew he didn't practice faith. I said this is for the religious portion of the members of the audience. I mean,
discussion. Well, how about this? I wish I would have heard what the atheist had said, because I think he could have shined some light on that, especially in contrast with everyone else.
Yeah.
At least giving a definitive and clear answer.
Right.
I'll give you the opportunity. How would you answer that question? Is faith a reliable way to come to a true conclusion?
Yeah.
Mr. Atheist said, how would you answer that?
All right. Well, I was the last question, and I think they were trying to wrap it up, and I would have gone.
I would have gone
for the next 20 minutes.
How would you answer that question?
You me?
Yeah, as an atheist, how would you answer? What's the atheist perspective on that answer?
On faith? Well, I think first of all that religious people try to equivocate. You know, they'll say everybody uses faith. You use faith when you sit down in a chair that it won't break on you. You know, you use faith that when you hit the brake in your car that it's going to stop. That is not religious faith. That, I mean, if you look up the word faith in the dictionary, it shows about seven different definitions for it. And one of which is religious faith, you know, where you believe supernatural things and miracles and things like that. And that is not, I mean, the religious people try to equate that with everyday faith, and they muddy the water in order to do it. And if you try to use faith as a guide to truth, then you're admitting that you don't have a good reason for what you believe, because if you had a good reason, you'd use that reason rather than faith.
Hmm. Do you think it's a reliable way to come to a true conclusion?
Faith? No.
Yeah.
A simple answer, no. Straight answer, no. It's a, you know, if I used it in the everyday nomenclature of the word, you know, just, you know, I have faith that my wife is a good person, something like that, then
yeah.
It's still not a good way to get to the truth, because, you know, your spouse may be cheating on you, but you believe that she's not, and you have faith
right.
that she's not, and it would be the wrong conclusion.
I could say in a general sense that on average, I think I'm a good person, like, compared to everyone in the world. I don't have any data, I don't have any statistics, and I may very well not be on
uh-huh.
average, but
uh-huh.
I have faith that I am. Only based on, like, my own sense of self, knowing myself pretty well, and knowing how people treat me, but the number of friends that I got, the number of people that I can call and have a good conversation with, the fact that I don't have a criminal record, things like that, I do have evidence now that I'm thinking about it. Maybe I have more evidence that I'm relying on than usual. But I figure if I have the opportunity to take something on faith or have the ability to take something with facts with evidence, I'd rather take the evidence instead, and that's because I can always test and assess the evidence. I can always inspect the reasoning that got me to that position. Whereas with faith, you kind of just have to take it on a matter of emotional drive. You know, like,
yeah.
you're not really using your sensibilities that are given to you, like your reasoning, your ability to think, your ability to critically assess. You're just saying that it is and hoping for the best. And I'd rather take a more doubtful approach and be maybe less certain, but still have a more reliable method than to just guess my way there using my...
Well, yeah, yeah. I would think that anybody would, if they had good reasons. You know, if they had scientific evidence or even good day-to-day reasons for believing something, they would use those reasons rather than just throw it up into the air and say, "Oh, I have faith that it's going to do this." You know, just from no evidence, no practical experience.
Right. I would also say, like, one of the big goals of the talk that I do is to try to get someone to, or try to find out the foundation of someone's belief. And if they tell me that their belief is fake, that's like one of the best things to hear when you're doing a shoot small, because there's a pretty clear route to go from when you have someone tell you that they use faith or faith is really important for them to come to a true conclusion.
Because
it's pretty easy to show how faith is not a reliable way to come to a true conclusion. And if they premise their talk by saying they're 100% confident that something is true based on faith, the thing is, if you're that confident, you're like 190% confident, you need to have 190% reliable method, or else your confidence isn't really justified. And
right.
what we know from faith is that it gives you, as that Islamic teacher told you, or as any Christian can tell you, it gives you answers that are based on your upbringing, your geography, and basically your personal experience.
And preferences. A lot of times it's just preferences.
Different conclusions with absolute certainty. And that's not a good way to come to a reliable conclusion.
No.
You can guess and still be right. I mean, one of those guys might actually exist. That's true.
Uh-huh.
That's great. But how are we supposed to reliably come to that conclusion? And is faith the thing that's taking us there? Because if it's just an issue of guessing and being born in the right place, that's not the right way to get there.
Right. Not certainly not reliable or consistent.
Absolutely not consistent. Absolutely not reliable.
Yeah.
What is reliable is things that we can test, things that we can inspect, things that we can demonstrate, things that we can really assess and throw back and forth and try to falsify and try to get more refined in over
right.
time.
Uh-huh.
And the only issue is those methods don't get us to any God yet.
Right.
So as a result, probably the best answer with regard to the existence of God using the most reliable methods that we have right now is, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. We don't have any information
going. Yeah. If there was only a name that came with that series of methods that you could use to approach the truth, if there was something out there that maybe was already established that that would give us good information about the universe. Can you think of anything like that? Maybe like
talking, what's a good method to come to something that
no, maybe like science. Because what you're talking about is science, you know, a reliable method for obtaining information about the universe that we live in.
Yeah. It is. It's a very reliable method. I would say it's the most reliable method that we have right now.
Yep.
There very well might be something even more better than science right now.
What's that?
The thing is, it's really hard to test to see what's better than science without using science in a way. Because science
we'll have
is
to verify.
Not just a thing. It's a system, and as a system, it can change and adopt new practices, it can change and adopt new systems of thought, it can change and come to new conclusions that are more accurate about a universal truth, and because of that, science is less of a thing and more of a way, a method, and that's really, really cool. So, like, if there is something that's more accurate than science right now, science can work its way up to there, and that's the power behind science.
Yeah. It's like if tomorrow we demonstrated somehow that ghosts were real. Well, from then on, after tomorrow, then ghosts would be part of science. It would encompass it. We would do experiments to find out what the phenomenon actually is and how it responds to reality.
Absolutely.
You know, it would become part of the body of science.
There'll be some guy who makes a lot of money selling those ectoplasms from Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that kind of day. That'd be amazing. That just brings a new suite of questions and new kids who can learn a new field and get studying it. And as a result, religions that talk about ghosts with absolute certainty will have one of two options. One, completely ignore everything that they presented as the gospel.
Yeah.
Or two, adopt the scientific understanding of it and pretend that they were giving God that impression the entire time.
Right, all along.
Right. And you'll see that a lot. It's just like, the 7 days of creation, of course, that explains evolution.
Yeah,
that's how, how Earth was created.
Yeah, or they just say that, we didn't know that, but, God in His majesty obviously encompassed that in His creation, so God knew all about it, We're just now finding out about it. They pop Him back at the beginning of all of the stuff that you find in science and claim it for themselves.
And what we're talking about right now is something called a post-ad hoc rationalization. The issue is, you can tell someone, hey, you're using a post-ad hoc rationalization. They won't care. They may not even know what you're talking about.
Right.
And you can even say, hey, it looks like you're looking at your holy book and then trying to find how it applies to science. And then going back to your holy book and saying, oh, yeah, that's what science is. That's what a book was saying all along.
Right.
It's hard to show someone why that's a bad way to come to conclusion. So...
Yeah.
That's why I like to do the epistemology, because what you're doing is, when you're asking these questions, what you're trying to demonstrate to the person is have them discover it on their own that the way that they're using or coming to conclusions is not good. So I don't really have an example for showing how using post-ad hoc rationalizations are faulty, but I have used in the past questions saying, like, it seems like you're using a more reliable method to come to like some sort of understanding of your holy book. What's that really reliable method? And then they'll tell me, oh, it's science, it's a scientific principle. And then also I ask them, why don't we just use science as a means to figure out reliable, true things rather than using your holy book? Like what makes, or faith, or your personal experience? Why are those things better as a system comes to true clues or more reliable than science?
Yeah.
And then as we think about that, that tends to highlight the idea of maybe they don't need their methods that they have right now. Maybe it's better to just say, I don't know, if they don't have the conclusion. I would say this, though, and I'm sorry for talking a lot, but the thing is science doesn't really give you an answer with regard to spiritual life or the existence of a God. And that's really unsatisfying for a lot of people. What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, there's this, religious people like to say that, science will tell you how, but it won't tell you why. you know, they're looking for purpose behind all this, and they will not accept the fact that there doesn't appear to be any purpose, other than maybe procreation and continuation of the species. But they can't accept that there's, I mean, that was one of the reasons that the priest, the Catholic priest at the round table last night said he left religion for a while and then he came back because he didn't want to admit that there was no purpose to the universe. I mean, he admitted it to us and to himself and to the crowd that he was there because he wanted the universe to have purpose to it. And now he didn't,
right.
And he claimed to use his faith to show himself that it was true. You know, I'm going to believe it, basically, even though when there's really no evidence that there is a purpose to the universe or to life or anything else, but organization of matter, you know, going forward. It's just what the universe does given billions of years, is what Carl Sagan would say.
If what we understand purpose to be is something that given by humans, and
yeah.
Not so much gigantic agent.
If you break it down, purpose isn't something that you discover, or it's something that you make. It's not
yeah.
like it's already there and you got to find it. No, you make it yourself, and you can give yourself as many purposes as you like for your life.
Right. You won't need a God to give you purpose. You can just make the purpose yourself.
Uh-huh.
You can make everyday purposeful by just going outside and coming out with a goal.
Yep.
And nothing would really tell you otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's one of the things that's inherently beautiful about life is that you set your own goals. You decide what you want to do with it. And there's nothing wrong with that. I feel like someone who says that they need a God in order to tell them what their purpose in life is or what the purpose of other people is, kind of is diminishing the beauty of what the human experience is. And that's something that I feel is one of the main goals of, I guess not necessarily atheism, but like of a secular lifestyle, is to highlight the idea
right.
that we are the goal of our own lives and we can set our own parameters and lives,
uh-huh.
goals.
Mm-hmm. True. And find that which is fulfilling to you and make it your life's work. Not only that, but your purpose can change many times throughout your life. You can be agile where your purpose is concerned. Make as many as you want.
Right. And you don't need a God to give it to you.
That's right.
I'll throw out one last thing. So
uh-huh.
Brady, in our talk, had said that he decided something was true and everyone agrees with him. That brought up the nature of something being true. If everyone agreed that, you know, something was a case, I'll put it like this. If everyone agreed that, you know, dirt was the most viable thing in the world, in a certain capacity, dirt would increase in value. No doubt. But the thing of the matter is, the dirt doesn't care about the opinion of people, you know? Dirt's still dirt. So what we're talking about more in the case of what he was referring to as a universal truth, right? If everyone shares the same personal truth, then that becomes a universal truth. And that's a big distinction that I want to make. And it's also a dangerous one because just because everyone says it's the case doesn't necessarily make it the case. If everyone said that all black people should do X, Y, Z, even black people agreed with that, that doesn't necessarily mean that's the case. Every person is a person on their own. If everyone agrees that 2 + 2 = 5, doesn't make it 2 + 2 = 5. Like,
right.
There's certain things that, regardless of the personal truth or desire behind it, even if it's shared among an entire populace, will not make it true. And that is a good thing because it means that there's something that's actually apart from the consensus of people that we can target as a reliable truth, an absolute truth. And as we get our way towards it, even if it's an ideal, it does show us it doesn't matter what the opinion of it is, it's still going to be the same. And that's really what the model of science is trying to aim itself toward. Just a universal truth that's unaffected by the ideas of the biases or the prejudices of people at the current time. And since it's been around for so long, science tends to have the most momentum towards the universal truth compared to any other kind of method.
Well, that was a lot to encompass, but
sorry.
Sounds good. Is that your final word? We got just a minute or so left. If you
want. Yeah, I'm tired.
Well, let's go ahead and end it up. The next DJ is here, and he's going to want to get on here. And I want to play a song for him. I think he might be interested in hearing it for a theme song for his own show. And it's called There Is a Time. And I'll just leave you with this last thought. As an atheist, don't worry about hell. Everybody's going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove hells and souls are true and real, and nobody has ever done that. Anyway, say bye, Wombat.
Bye, Wombat.
And we'll see y'all next week. And here it is, There Is a Time by Alan Jackson.
There is a time for love and laughter. Days will pass like summer storms. The winter wind will follow after. There is love and love is warm. There is a time for us to wonder. When time is young and so are we. Woods are greener over yonder. Half is new, the world is free. Fire against the cold. There is a time for us to wonder. When time is young, it's so are we. Woods are greener over yonder. Path is new, the world is free. Roaming in the springtime, you find your love in the summer sun. Frost will come and bring the harvest. You can sleep when day is done. There is a time for us to wonder. When time is young and so are we. The woods are greener over yonder. The path is new, the world is free. Path is new, the world is free. New, the world is free.